The remedy to getting old is to do new things and to create new things. You need to be you, because at this age in your life, don't try and be different to what you are, because that's what makes you perfect.
How does Shelley build a global brand out of a shed in Byron Bay?
It's kind of bizarre, because
Shelley Fowler, founder of Fabulous 50s, is a business leader and wellness expert who inspires women to thrive at every stage of life.
With over 30 years of experience and certifications in fitness, brain health and coaching, she empowers women to thrive personally and professionally.
What's the worst thing that can happen? You can suck, you know, and that will be the first time and the second time and the third time. But then you just keep coming back, so
they see someone like you who's built a passionate business that doesn't feel like work. What advice would you give to that person to get started?
I think if you're stuck in the grind, like...
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Unemployable Podcast. We have an epic podcast in store for you. We've got Shelley Fowler here from Fabulous 50s, who has over 1.96 million YouTube subscribers, over 150,000 subscribers on Instagram, and throughout all of the platforms, about 3 million subscribers. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
And Tony, thank you for being on.
Thank you very much. I'm excited for today.
Taking my seat?
Yes, someone's got to do it.
And James, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Looking forward to this one. It's pretty age appropriate for where I'm at in life. And I'm sure you're about to walk through this, wade through this conversation yourself. So
yeah, so the reason why you guys don't need to be listening is she has the number one fitness and lifestyle community for women online. And all you got to do is a quick search of Fabulous 50s and Shelley Fowler, and she is everywhere on YouTube, on Instagram, and it's so humbling, because this is what we started about 15 months ago, a podcast channel, and you know, being on YouTube and building our Instagram following. And when I look at what you've done and the quality of content and the amount of content that you're putting out, for someone that is retired at 50 and basically started a brand new business, you know, a brand new life really after that in the business sense, is amazing. So I just want to take my hat off to you and just say, you know, well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah.
So Shelley, tell us, I guess, a little bit about yourself and why people should be listening, and a bit of your background and how you got involved in Fabulous 50s.
Okay. So I have had a career in business since I was 21. I bought my first business at 21 with my husband, and we just did business like forever. We started and we finished at 50 when we sold our last business. We had three kids during that time, and all of our businesses, we could have the kids with us. So that was a really good thing. But that's who I was, and all of the businesses were 7 day a week, you know, grind businesses. But we loved it and we did well at business and we understood it. And yeah, it was great. And having the family with us as well was another benefit. So when we sold our last business, we retired and it was great. So it's something that you dream of doing. It's like, I don't have to go to work anymore and I don't have to think about all of the things, all of the problems, all of the, you know, the decisions. And we retired and we went traveling and, you know, we sat on the beach and we sat by the pool and then we read and we did all of the things that we wanted to do. And during that time as well, like I studied and I did some hobbies and all of those things. And then we started what's next? Like, what do we do next? My husband didn't want to do anything next. He was happy to just, you know, he just liked investing and doing those kind of things. But I had this drive inside of me to do something else, but I didn't want to work, because I'd worked so hard. And so what I did is I thought, I'll start a YouTube channel, hope that nobody watches it, because I'm very shy and not shy as in, you know, I can't function around people, but I didn't really want it for that. I just wanted to give back because I became a stylist for fun and really enjoyed that. And that's how I started my YouTube channel, doing styling tips and makeup tips. And then, yeah, it sort of all happened from there. And then I did fitness, studied fitness. I have three sons, so my life was about fitness. And yeah, I just grew in a very organic way.
And when we look at it from a timeline perspective, what year did you actually retire?
2015.
Yeah.
And then started in, 2016, and then it started in 2017.
2017.
Yeah.
So you started taking it very seriously in 2017?
Yes. Really? So from the day I started, it was every week. I committed to one video per week, and I've pretty much done that for 7 years. And that's the thing with YouTube or any social media. You focus on one thing, and you just keep repeating and show up and do it. It's the consistency.
Just before we go there, can we go backtrack just a little bit back from 21 to 50 and not go in deep, but just give us a quick little 45-second overview. What are the businesses did you have in that period?
We had cafes, and the last business we had was a holiday park. And we buy something and build it up and sell it.
A holiday park is very different from a 3 million subscriber YouTube and social presence.
It's the same in a way, because in holiday park, our job was to make people happy, to give them a good experience. It's the same business principle with what I'm doing now is how can I, give them more than what they expect? How can I show up and teach people ways to be and to live better? So, yeah, it's kind of the same. The different thing is with what I'm doing now is when you have a business, it's kind of like, okay, I go to work and I figure out how to do the thing and I do it, and I have a team of people helping me. And it's a lot easier to understand than this, because you don't know what you're doing. You make it all up from scratch, and it's all a result of what you create and you put that out. But yeah, it's very different.
Yeah. You mentioned something earlier. When you retired, you didn't want to work again, right?
I didn't want to work again.
And so many people listening right now are stuck in the grind that you were in for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
So what advice would you have for somebody who's listening to this? They are stuck in the grind. They see someone like you who's built a passionate business that doesn't feel like work. How would you, what advice would you give to that person to get started?
I think if you're stuck in the grind, like that's a real thing. You wake up every morning, you go to work and you come home, and there's no time for self. And when you come out the other side, then if it all go away tomorrow, you think, well, what was my life about? Like, your life can't just be about grind. So, like, I'm 58 now, and it's like, if I can do it and I'm just doing it out of a shed in my property, like, anybody has the ability to go and create something. So, and I also think everyone's got something that they can share with the world. So, yeah, if people are in the grind and you want to get out of it, I would say, find that one thing that you do well, or that you know well, or that you can talk about without having to think about it, and do it as a side hustle.
You know, like, Tony and I were talking about this the other day, and I'm like, we were talking about thumbnails and YouTube and different things. And I'm like, Tony, what we need to realize is we're not doing this podcast for a year or 2 years.
Yes.
I'm in this for the long term, right?
Yeah.
And it inspires me so much to hear your story, because I can see where, it just gives me even more conviction and a clear vision of where we can be in 7 and 8 years. And I said to him, we were talking about consistency, right? It's like, it's not about doing one pod or one video on YouTube, or two a week, and then none for 3 weeks, and then one.
Right.
It's consistency. If you're going to do one a week, it's one a week for 8 years. You would have done over 400, videos. Every week. And to me, that's the difference. And with people that even we coach, it's about giving themselves the belief, right, that everyone has a story, right? Everyone has value to add.
Yes.
And seeing what you're doing out of a shed on your property, right? That's what people don't see, though. What they see is an amazing looking location because of obviously your styling and the rest of it. I've seen some of those videos and you've done such a great job. And it's the same thing that we've done here in the podcast studio. We want people to walk in here and feel special. We want them to feel like they're actually being interviewed in a proper studio. And sometimes that's what it takes. But in other times, you don't have to go to those lengths. It's just a matter of finding what you're good at, what is your superpower, and then bringing it out to the world. And with you, what I loved about it in your story is you just did this to add value. There wasn't a business idea. You didn't do it to monetize it at the beginning. This was just like, I just want to add value. I want to give back to society and I guess feel part of society. I'm over the, you know, margaritas and books probably by the pool. There's only so much of that you can do, right?
Yeah.
And adding that value, which is amazing. And for those of you guys that don't know, Tony, he owns a business called Empowered Man, and he helps men, only really between, roughly 40 and 50 years old that are doing amazing in business and very successful in business, but really are in that grind and ruining all the relationships around them. Meanwhile, they're thinking they're doing the right thing. So there's a lot of crossover in what you guys do. And I want to talk about a little bit more of the business journey and how someone from, a shed in Byron Bay starts to create this type of business. And I want to, on the second half of the pod, talk a little bit about the women that you deal with. Predominantly, they're over 50, dealing with menopause. And I get very, very scared around the topic menopause and perimenopause. You know, my wife's 41.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to hear this perimenopause and her talking to a friend and this and that. And I just looked it up one time and it scared.
Just shut yourself.
Shit out of me. And I'm like, is this what it's going to come to?
All this work and now I've got 10 years of torture.
And I think for the men and the women, obviously, but predominantly the men that listen to this, it's something that we all need to really learn about because we're all going to be dealing with it at some point in our lives.
Yeah, and for the sons as well.
Correct.
Like, the whole family.
The whole family, really, because it's not like it's a choice.
Yeah.
Right? You have no choice. You go through it. So I really want to touch on that. And, but how does Shelley build a global brand out of a shed in Byron Bay?
It's kind of bizarre because, like, it doesn't even feel like when you say it like that, it's kind of weird, but I just made a commitment and I have discipline and I learned discipline through business, that you show up every day, whether you feel like it or not, and you do the thing that you've committed to doing, which is what I did. I committed to doing this and I didn't start it as a business. I just started as, I want to give back. And when I used to do styling for women or do fitness, and I would just see how good they'd feel when they change their perspective. They'd put on something different to what they would usually wear, and they'd look at themselves and go, they just think, I look really good. And they're not used to thinking, women aren't used to thinking like that, particularly in my generation. We're used to, I talk to my sons about this and this generation, the women are very different. In our generation, it was so different because women weren't important. We didn't have a say in a lot of things. And if you put a woman down, it was like, that's just normal. Whereas today it's very different, which is great. But, yeah, It's just something that I've lost where I'm up to.
No. How you build the Globes brand. So one of the main things you were saying is the consistency.
The consistency.
Right. But you also have niched, right? And I think this is where a lot of people get things wrong, because I'm in a few different businesses that are very niche as well.
Yeah.
And I think at times, a lot of time, we think with a very scarce mentality on going, we need to be everything to everybody.
Yeah.
Like there's not enough 50-year-olds that are going to listen to me that are in menopause to scale the business. I want to target, you know, 20 to 50-year-olds as an example, right?
Yeah.
So how did you realize, like, to go down that niche? Is it just because you were in that age group, you were dealing with the things that you were dealing with, and you thought, I want to help others?
Yeah, I went into that age group because I was that age. I was 50 when I started. And I just think it's a really niche market in the way that these women in this age group feel. And it's very different. It's an invisible generation because society says that for you to be beautiful as a woman or successful or popular or any of those things, you need to be young. And then the older women, you know, it's like you get to this age and then you become invisible and not included. So I wanted to include them and I wanted to just talk to them. And that's why I chose over 50 so that they could be included and I could, and I do, I understand how they're feeling. And yeah, that, but I get a lot of younger women do my workouts as well.
It's not exactly a small audience though, is it? I mean, you're talking about pre-boomer, boomer, if we talk about 7.5-8 billion people on the planet and half of them are women, it's not exactly a small category. It's just that we think we're in Australia in a shed, probably not quite a shed, out of Byron. They think, well, how do you build a 3 million strong following globally? Well, it's quite apparent, as you said, if they haven't had the women aren't quite the same as today as they were back then, that they need a voice, need someone to be their guiding light and their leader, so to speak. It can sort of see why it's
they can resonate with me, and they can feel that connection, I think. And all different nationalities, so many different countries, and it's like, wow, you know, all these people from, you know, Jamaica and like every country you can think of. So yeah.
And it's not just older women. Like my wife's 34 years old.
Yeah.
And she's already terrified about aging. She's doing all the treatments and she is beautiful, but she feels like she's not enough. She feels like she's not beautiful. So I think this speaks to this idea that you found a niche of people that you wanted to serve.
Yeah.
And for anyone listening at home right now, if you want to start a side hustle, you don't need to be 27 steps ahead of the people you want to serve. You just got to find a problem that you've solved for yourself, which is you found your happiness, your self-love, self-acceptance, I'm assuming, and you wanted to give back that back to the world. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. And for all of the young women out there, you don't need to look younger. You're already young. Like there's this belief that, you know, if you've got one wrinkle or if you've got laugh lines, you need to get rid of them. It's like, no, you don't. You need to be you, because at this age in your life, this is your time. This is your time to shine. So don't try and be different to what you are, because that's what makes you perfect.
And probably what's changed, as you said, from your generation coming through to now is we didn't have Instagram and a camera in everyone's faces every 5 minutes and all these filters and all the bullshit that makes them look like they're flawless, which they're not. Because when you see most of these women that are on Instagram, you see them in the flesh. They don't look quite like they do in the photo, which just gives a massive false sense of what they should be.
It gives everyone anxiety because – this is – my generation, okay, we didn't have even phones. We didn't have computers or calculators. I was allowed to use a calculator in year 12. That was it. But we didn't have to compare. So, and it's the same with business. And for young people seem to think that you need to have it all figured out by the time you're 25 or 30. $1 million by 25, $10 million by 30. And that's compared to what they're seeing on Instagram, because that's not their best mate or their mum and dad. That's what they think is real out there. So we didn't have that. So the realness of when we were growing up is you had, you know, a few best friends, you had your parents, your brothers and sisters, and then acquaintances. So we would compare ourselves, if you did, to those people. So there wasn't this constant anxiety about, you know, I'm not doing well enough. And if you had someone who was very close to you who was very successful, you'd say, okay, what are they doing? Like, do I want to do that? Do I want to work that hard, or, you know, have no weekends? Or am I happy being me, doing my life? So there was that. That was real and tangible. Whereas now we're looking at social media and everyone's just thinks that they're not enough.
Got a rented Lambo and flying around a jet that's been cut off with the video camera in front of us. Yeah.
I say this a lot. You know, we're the most connected we've ever been, right? Like, you talk to people overseas on WhatsApp, on Zoom, more connected than ever. Yet we're the most disconnected in ourselves, I would say, than probably ever, you know? And there's a lot of people, you know, doing it tough out there mentally because of social media and this comparing. And it's a real issue.
Comparison is the thief of joy. Yeah. That quote sticks with me.
Yeah.
I know you're going to cover off the business stuff. Discipline, you mentioned that word. A lot of business owners and hardworking Australians and people across the world, they seem to struggle with discipline. And you've built something very successful. Eric's built something very successful. James has built many things very successful. How does one develop that skill of discipline to build what you've built? Not just now, but even before you built businesses.
Yeah.
A lot of us fail in that. How do you build that skill in business?
I think you've got to have the intent first and then build habits every day and make sure, like, hold yourself accountable to the habits. And, you know, not everyone's cut out to be an entrepreneur because it's risky and it's scary and you're by yourself. And so a lot of people think, I wish I could go and, you know, create this thing. But it's a lot better for some people to have a boss to work for, and they can contribute to that company in a really meaningful way. And so I think that's part of the problem. Everyone thinks that they've got to be an entrepreneur, and everyone thinks that that's for them, and then they try it and they fail. And it may not be because they don't have discipline or they don't have skills. It's because they're not cut out for that.
Something I teach is knowing who you are and knowing who you are not.
Yeah.
And being okay with that. And it, funny enough, I had a client a couple of weeks ago ring me up, and we got on a call, and he's like, over the last few years, Eric, what I've noticed and what I've now realized is I'm a great 2IC. I'm a great second in charge, but I'm not a great guy to own a business all on my own. And as soon as he said that, we had another client that was like, I'm looking for somebody, and I introduced them, and now they're like a house on fire at the moment, you know, and I'm helping him put that business together. But the big thing is knowing who you are and knowing who you're not, because let me tell you, if you're trying to be somebody you're not, you're going to be very, very, very upset most of the time because you're not being authentic to yourself. And that's why I love being on this podcast and showing up every week. And we will continue to do this every week for a long time, because this is who we are. We're real, we're raw, we're authentic. And what people forget, I think, is as soon as a camera is on them, you know, we've got five cameras on us right now, and we're probably forgetting about it. But when you're looking at it, people think you need to act in front of a camera, and we all get nervous. But it's just like at the beginning of a podcast, it's the most nervous point, and then eventually we forget what's going on, and then we have a casual chat.
Yeah.
And to me, we just got to be more and more comfortable with that. You were going to say something, James?
Oh, no, I was just talking about the knowing who you are and who you're not, and what you're prepared to do and what you're prepared not prepared to do as well, because being an entrepreneur is a lot of work. I mean, you get to work half day, minimum half days, and a mentor said to me, you get to work from, you know, 7 till 7. And if you're not going to sign up for full half days, don't bother. Yeah.
What time were you up this morning, James, working?
I got up at just about 2:30 this morning because I had an idea in my head how to get it, knock it out. So,
And that's an entrepreneur's life, right? Get the idea out at 2:30 in the morning.
I'm not saying that's like because often people get labeled pretty poorly and say, oh, you've got to get up 4 o'clock every morning, do the grind, all that sort of stuff. And I was like, I used to do that, but and if something's on my mind and I can't sleep, I'm not going to lay there and try and count sheep or listen to a rain app. I'm like, let's just get up and get after it.
We've got plenty more questions on the business side, but I want to just go into exactly what you do, because I know you've got fitness programs, weight loss solutions, menopause tips, longevity secrets. So what do you actually teach and how do you get that information out?
So I do videos, I create workouts, and I've always got like one person in mind, and that might be someone in my community who comments all the time, or a friend. Or so when I create the workout, I'm creating it for what their ability is. And you know, they might have sore knees or sore back, or they're feeling like they've got no energy. So I build the workout, film it, edit it, you know, get the music and all of that, and put that out there. And then we sort of distribute that through the other social media channels. But this last couple of years, I've been sort of more inward and studying and learning more and upskilling myself, rather than doing this kind of work. It's just been at this stage is deep learning, and then I'll take all this deep learning out into my content. But yeah, so that's what I do, and I do challenges. They're free. I do free challenges and paid challenges, and we do about 60,000 people doing the challenges for the month, and that's free and paid. So there's that many women out there, you know, doing, getting fit and becoming women who work out. And for my audience, this might be people who have never exercised before, and now they're just doing it, and it just makes me so happy.
Can I speak to that? Because when you really think about that number, it's probably just normal to you right now.
Yeah.
But that is a stadium full of women who you are impacting. Yeah. And for the listener at home right now, you've spent the last 2 years upskilling.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to get complacent and go, well, I've got 60,000 women that I'm helping each month, and go, I'm good. But you're actually doing more upskilling and more growth, which speaks to your success. And I think a lot of people listening right now, they get complacent and they stop growing. And when you're not growing, you're sort of dying, right?
You are. You literally.
So that's a very powerful mentality you have of going inward, using language like that, while still making such a large impact. How would a listener at home develop that mindset of, I'm getting better and improving myself while also achieving that success without getting complacent? How would you recommend someone does that?
Yeah. So for the people who are listening and trying to figure out what to do, like my recommendation is to start with one thing, not 10 things, like not like, oh, I'll do this and then I'll do that. And if I get all of this, because then that's going to confuse your mind. And then you'll get into overwhelm and you can't do anything. So we've got to stop doing that. So it's the one thing that you're passionate about. So if you're at home thinking, what can I do? Like, what do people say that you're good at? What do you just easily speak about? You know, do you help people with their problems? Or are you really good at making soap? Or, you know, like it's whatever you do, and teach someone else how to do that if you can. Because it's starting at something so simple. And then if people are interested, and there will be people, there's billions of people in the world, someone's going to be interested in what your little thing is. And that's the magic of what you can create. Just become a creator. So find that one thing that you can do, test it, and be prepared to be really bad at it. Because, like, who really cares, you know, when it all comes down to it? Because if you're good at that in real life, and it resonates with the people around you, in like back to the 80s in your little bubble, it's going to relate, you know, do well with other people some way.
There's a lot of people that will be watching this, and this is why I love doing these podcasts, right? That will have an amazing idea that they know they got to get in front of camera. Now, Adam approached me probably, I don't know, 18 months ago, whenever it was now, and said, hey, I got an idea, you know, to do this podcast and this and that. And he's like, I want you to partner with me. And, you know, I love your story and you have so much value to add. And And I was scared shitless because I've just been under the radar working on my businesses, right? Kind of the you know, silent assassin in the background. And then all of a sudden this opportunity comes. And I'm an extrovert. I can talk to any, I'm the guy talking to the guy in the elevator, knowing his life story.
Yeah.
But I haven't had a lot of experience in front of camera. And there's a lot of people that would be listening to this that would be in the exact same situation. And we are our own biggest self-critics, right? Oh, my wrinkles. Oh, my hair. Oh, I don't.
I'll add to that. Yeah. Like Adam is keynoted on for like Robert Kiyosaki, Richard Branson, Tony. Like he's spoken everywhere. And we asked him to echo what Eric's saying. I'm actually an introvert. And for the first time, a couple of times to hear on camera, I actually was on Valium. Like I was that nervous.
Yeah.
And now we come along to these sessions now. And it's like, we'll think where you start, just start.
Yeah. And like the AC used to be at 14 degrees. We're now up to 21.
Yeah. Because I used to sit there sweating bullets. But honestly, it was the most fearful thing I'd ever done in my life. And we're not actually live to a camera. But
I'm sure Tony was probably in that same space at some point. Yeah. So the question I have is, you said one thing earlier, and you said you do your videos thinking about one person.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to forget about that, right? Like, that's very, very powerful. Right. You're speaking to millions, but you're thinking about that one lady with the sore knees or that one lady with the sore back. What would you talk to that one person right now that's listening to this, whether they're 20, 30, 40, 50, whether they're male, whether they're female, and they have this idea and they're scared, right? And it's good to say, oh, but just don't worry about it, because we all worried about it at some point, and there's certain things you got to go through. What would you tell that person, and what are some of the emotions and some of the things that you went through to overcome that, to help this person on the other side of this camera believe in themselves and turn that camera on?
Yeah, for sure. Because, that was me. Like, I was so nervous when I started, and I'm an introvert, and I thought, this is just like a stupid idea. Why am I doing this? But like I had the, you know, the voice in my ear. And I think if you're at home and thinking that you really want to do something, and it's a bit of a, like it's a drive, there's voices and you've got this feel like you've got a reason to do it. The best way to do it is to set your phone up and record yourself speaking, because when you hear yourself speak back, you think, oh, do I sound that bad? And then you do it again. But you keep doing it without the intention of ever letting anybody see it. And what that does is it gives you practice, because you need practice of being out in front of people. And then you're going to feel, oh, everyone's going to judge me. They're going to judge what I look like. They're going to judge what I say. They're going to judge, you know, all of these thoughts are going to just drown you. But you've got to say, okay, do I want to not do my dream because I feel like it's a little bit too hard? Or do I want to just go and do it and see what happens? And what's the worst thing that can happen? You can suck, you know, and that will be the first time and the second time and the third time. But then you just keep coming back. So practice on the phone, just saying what you want to say with ease, and keep saying it until you can say it with ease.
Yeah, I like that.
Gary Vee just did a topic on this about earlier in the year about, and I'll just say the F-bomb, he was later here, but he said, stop giving an F about it. No one really cares. No one cares a shit about you at all. They're so self-absorbed in what they're doing day to day. They won't even remember you like in 2 minutes. And some of your mates, like your best mates, if you did something, they'll forget about it 5 minutes later after they've taken the piss out of you. That's my extent to it. But
can I add a couple things to that? And I'd like Tony to add a couple things as well, because I think this is a big topic, right? Because there's so many people out there scared shitless just to actually talk in front of camera. And at the beginning, no one likes the sound of their own voice. We all sound odd, right?
Especially
to yourself.
Yeah. I still don't like the sound of Eric, but we're here, right?
Especially with a Canadian accent in Australia. It makes it even harder. A couple of things I want to add is surround yourself with people that believe in you, that will back you and give you positive reinforcement. That's a big, big thing. That's helped me. And don't compare your first inning to someone else's ninth inning. I'm sitting in a chair right now, replacing, a guy that is probably one of the best speakers in Australia, if not, you know, one of the best, probably, you know, speakers in the world, really. Like, if he actually did that full time, like the intellect, his vocabulary, and what he can actually remember is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And here I am going, all right, I got to take the seat now. And I've had to overcome so many things. And I'm never going to be Adam, right? And I'm
but you don't want to be Adam.
Exactly. And I'm okay with that, right? Yeah. But people ask me, like, aren't you nervous? Like, what's going to happen? I'm like, you know what? It'll be fine. It'll be all right. I'll get better and better, and I'll be the best version of myself. Yeah. And I listen to the same thing with Gary Vee of going, don't be so self-absorbed that you think everybody's worried about you and what you look like and how you speak and what you're saying. Because the reality is that's not the case. It's all in your head. Yeah. And that's actually your ego talking.
Yeah. And I think this speaks to this idea that we've lost the ability to dream, right? So we get caught up. I see it every day in my business. We work 10, 20, 30 years grinding, sacrificing, thinking we're going to reach this promised land with this certain dollar figure or investment portfolio. And we don't enjoy the journey at all on the way there. And we finally get there and go, shit, what's next? So one thing I would say that you've probably done that people at home can try is let your passion be stronger than your fear.
Yes.
Because so many people listening right now, they want to start a YouTube channel and talk about fishing, or they want to talk about four-wheel drives.
Yeah.
And every day they think about it and watch other people do it going, I can't do that, or that can't be me. But by doing so, they're handicapping themselves and their dream, and they're handicapping the people that they can impact. So I'd say anyone who has fear right now, and I'd love your opinion on this, let your passion be stronger than your dream and just start and embrace the fact you're going to suck because it's a new skill, right?
Yes, yeah. It is because, yeah, embrace that for sure.
Yeah.
And what you're doing when you're starting with this thing that you're good at is you're accessing the creative part of your brain. And when we do that, we become alive, even though it can be, you know, very nerve-wracking and you're going to make lots of mistakes. But because you're accessing that part of your brain, you're leaning into something new, and we're doing something new. So this is what, when people get old, like even if they're in their 20s, is when you do the same thing all the time. You think of your old grandparents or whatever, and, you know, they'll have their dinner at 5 o'clock, and then they'll go and watch TV and go to bed, and then they wake up. Every day is exactly the same. So the opposite to that and the remedy to getting old is to do new things and to create new things. And that's what kids do. They're always, you know, let's do this and let's do that, and they're all over the place. So just tap into your creative energy and just try something. And as you keep creating and inventing something new, which is the thing that you do really well that other people can enjoy, then you're just accessing a different part of you.
Yeah.
And it makes you come alive. So when you're nervous, think about that. Just think about that. You're growing and you're staying young, even if you're 20.
Okay. Can I just jump back into the business side a little bit? That was sort of more the softer side of it. But you started, as I said, back in 2017, pretty much.
Yep.
In it, we won't call it more than a shed, but we'll call it the shed in Byron.
I didn't call it a shed. Shelley called it a shed.
Shelley called it a shed. Right. Okay.
Shelley shed.
Shelley shack down at Byron. So you started out one lady, a camera, and a shed, and now you've got 3 million subs across the globe. You're a one lady band at the beginning. What's it look like now? Just because we got a lot of business people listening to this channel who are in the everyone's in the business of creating content. What's it look like then, and what's it look like now? What's the bench depth with the team, and who does the videography? Who does the production? And what's that actually? What's behind the curtain that puts Shelley up on stage every week in front of, you know, 60,000 people in the challenge?
Hey, can we start with how it started,
that's
how it went, and what you're doing now, so that way they can see the progress. Yeah.
So it started at Coffs Harbour where I was, and it started in my living room with the cameras sort of up and, you know, all of this was inside the house. So that was a lot. I started off with one camera, then I got two cameras to film two different angles, lighting, just bought all the equipment over time.
And you're filming yourself at this point.
And I'm filming. I do all my filming, everything myself. I have a team. I've got a few people who help me with the social media, and with the blogs, with our website, and, you know, all of the technical things that they do. So 7 years later, it's not that much different. Two cameras, lights. I go up, turn the cameras on, I film, make lots of mistakes. You know, I'll be doing my exercises and I'll forget one. You know, I write them up on a board, I'll forget one, the music's finished, so I have to do it again. Or you film and you forget to turn the camera, one of the cameras on. You know, all these things happens all the time.
Still. Yeah, it reminds me, Ethan, is it recording?
I would love to have an Ethan. But like, this setup's amazing. This is great. This is what I want to do when I grow up, is have have people to help me with all the things. But yeah, like, you don't, and if you're just starting out, you don't need any fancy equipment. You can do it on your iPhone. Like Sam Sulis, is it Zach?
Sam Sulik.
Yeah. Look what he does. People love it. He just films himself being him. He's not polished. He's not anything, you know, he taking it back to what I said before, he's taken the thing that he does well, that he knows, and he's just telling people about it.
Yeah.
It's funny because I had a massive blockage, and I still kind of somewhat do, to be honest with you, when it comes to filming yourself on camera and thinking about the content. Like, I was doing something last night, we went out and this and that, and then I get home and I'm like, oh, I forgot that would have been half decent content, right? But it's just getting into that headspace of remembering, because I've never had to think about content. And most of the people that will be listening aren't content creators, right? Like, you could see some content creators that are just naturals. I'm like, Wow, that's amazing. But we're born in a generation, you know, I'm 41. So we're born in a generation where we didn't have the phone, right? We didn't have an iPhone. So we weren't recording everything. But like, my daughters now, right? I've got younger daughters. They use CapCut and they make 10-minute videos and they make us watch it, right? And it's amazing. And they're putting in, you know, sound and they're editing and they're putting transitions and they're doing all these things.
It's that time of year again at Unemployable, where we're opening up our Unemployable business coaching program. It's over a 12-month period. And with that, you get private one-on-one coaching, group coaching, as well as private and live events throughout the year. You could get private coaching with me, and not only me, but our panel of experts that we have put together. These panel of experts have been in our network and are the exact people that we use in our business successes. People from branding, sales, marketing, our lawyers, our accountants, everyone that has helped build our businesses, you have access to. If this sounds of interest, go to www.unemployable.com.au/coaching and register your interest to see if it's a fit for you and us. Hope to see you there.
So I think for us that are a little bit older, we actually have to think about it a little bit more. So who's that person? Sam Sulik. You know who he is?
Yeah, Sam Sulik. Yeah.
What does he do?
So he's literally just a bodybuilder. Super raw videos. I think he has 3 or 4 million subscribers. And he just put a camera in the gym and filmed himself lifting. Yeah. There's another great example of this, I think, for anyone listening, because you might be thinking, well, what could I do? There's a guy called Wild Homestead. Has anyone heard of him?
No.
So this guy basically did a game show in China, Backstreet Boys performed, got a big payout, spent all that money, bought 40 acres in the Canadian wilderness. The last 2 years, he's been building a log cabin. Yeah. He launches one episode a week.
Yep.
It's so entertaining. I watch it every week with my 3-year-old daughter. And he literally just puts the camera in the snow, grabs a log, shaves it down, puts it on his cabin. He's got a little dog that he's like, it's amazing. And it's so entertaining. And the guy's probably making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. So it doesn't have to be you're coaching someone. You don't have to do a fitness brand. It can be anything.
It can be anything.
Yeah.
Just something like Sam. And when when he does he doesn't follow what all, you know, the trainers are saying. He does it his own way.
Yeah.
So, like, this is, everyone's got something. They've got something that's interesting about them. Even if they're a complete introvert and they sit and play games all day, like, what's that thing that you do a little bit differently to everybody else that you could just go online and share your information, share what you do?
So back to your team. You started, it was just you and two cameras, right? And then over the years, just you and two cameras. And now it's still you and two cameras. But what does your team look like? When you say, I've got a couple people that do this and a couple people that do that, you don't have to tell us who they are, but it would just be good to get an understanding of a person that's doing 3 million views per month and 400,000 hours of YouTube watch time, and that's per month.
Per month.
Right. So I want to repeat that. 400,000 hours of watch time on YouTube and 3 million views. How many people are on your team to help you create that?
I have one full-time EA. Her name is Pearl, and she lives in the Philippines, and she's been with me for like many, many years. So she takes care of all the little details, and she looks after the courses for me. And then I have probably another five part-time people who do. I've got Anastasia does some design work for me. She creates all the design for all the things, blog post, website, and someone takes care of lots of all the little things, customer support, like about five people helping me. My son helped me a lot.
Now it's a bit of a team, but it's not a massive team, right? When you look at some of these big YouTubers, right? Like you're basically the YouTuber. You're a 58-year-old YouTuber.
Yeah.
How, like, that's amazing, you know? Like, and some of these people have massive teams. So I just wanted to get clear on that, because and five of them are part-time. So.
And offshore, they're all pretty much remote.
Offshore, I've got one here, and my sons are here. But yeah, everyone's remote, and we meet on Zoom. We have a global team, and yeah, they're amazing. They're like family as well.
Because when you get 3 million views and 400,000 hours of YouTube content and 60,000 women, I'm assuming mostly women, are going through your challenges a month, I'm sure there's going to be some questions and customer support. Who answers? Are you?
Yeah, so that's the part-timers. They do that. I answer the comments, a lot of the comments. I mean, there's thousands a week we get of comments. So I go in and talk to people, but like, I can't do it all.
No.
But that's one of the keys to why I grew very quickly, is because I answered every single comment of my videos for 4 years.
Well, that's
amazing.
It's
a full-time job.
And you're getting the feedback, right?
And I'm talking to them like I'm real.
Yeah. So if the lady's saying, oh, my Achilles tendon is hurting, you're probably going, well, there's probably a lot of other 50-year-old Achilles tendons that's hurting. Mine's hurting.
You're getting your content topics from being engaged with the audience.
Yeah, I just know them. I understand them, and I know what's going to be good that they're going to enjoy. We had one comment the other day, and just this woman was very obese, and she was going to, she looking for a workout online. She found one of my chair workouts, and she started doing it, and she continued doing it every week for a couple of months. And she was one of the ladies who goes to the supermarket in the trolley, you know, the little buggy. And she said, I went from being able to do about 200 steps per day to 1,500 steps, and she walks now around the supermarket. And that's only because she found something that she thought in her mind that she could do. I can do this. And she did it every day. And look at that. She doesn't have to do the buggy.
Yeah.
Now she can walk around. And imagine what someone feels when they know that they've done that themselves. They didn't get a drug. They didn't, you know, nothing happened except for the hard work that they've put in. Like, that's massive.
And it would make you feel amazing, right?
Oh, yeah. That's like, wow.
Yeah.
1,500 steps is huge, because 200 steps is getting out of bed, going to the bathroom, standing up and down off your chair. Like, that's a sedentary lifestyle.
And it's the same thing with what we do and what Tony does. Like, the messages that I've been getting recently as the podcast and the business coaching and stuff has been growing, you know, it really, really fills my bucket. Because the thing is, we're here showing up every week, spending hours and hours and hours of time, just like yourself.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't know who's listening. Just because you got X amount of subscribers, you don't know all of them. They're just, you know, a face that you don't know. And getting those messages and knowing that you're hitting home, because if one or two or 10,000 people are messaging, you know that there's hundreds of thousands of people that are being affected by that as well.
Yeah. And that's a great message for all the people who are thinking, well, do I have the courage to do something? It's like, do that thing that you do really well. And someone at home is going to resonate with that and feel better. Their day is going to be better because of what you taught them or what you shared with them, or you might be in the same situation as what they are and they're not coping.
Yeah, and that feeling is so powerful, knowing that you've made an impact while also making money to feed your family. When you merge those two things together, it's so powerful. And an impact could just be a guy building a log cabin. It doesn't have to be what you're doing.
Yeah.
And speaking of impact, I really want to touch on the menopause thing, right? Because there's a lot of men listening right now who need to know what you're about to share. And there's a lot of women who probably have no idea of what's going on, right? So do you want to lead that one? And
Honestly, I was going to avoid it, but you're...
I'm joking. So obviously your main target market is women over 50s. That's your niche. And these women are going through menopause.
Yes.
But there's also women, I think you mentioned earlier, off camera maybe, at the age roughly of 42 when perimenopause starts. And that's kind of in my realm of life at the moment. And to be honest with you, it's really scary. And I've done zero research on it, absolutely nothing. But it's been mentioned a few times around the house. And I'm trying to avoid it, to be quite honest with you. And I'm sure that there's a lot of...
Not like most men avoiding things.
I try and trade in at that point, Eric.
And
joking.
Give us a little rundown on what is perimenopause and what is menopause to start with.
Yeah, and what do we need to know? Yeah.
So it's a really big topic that most people don't know about. So when I was going through it, there was no one talking about it. And even the doctors, they don't know how to treat for menopause because they're not doing any training in menopause. And menopause is when your body starts, the hormones start reducing in your body. So the estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, they all drop down to nothing. But when you're in perimenopause, they're up and down like this. So if you can think back to, if any of you've got daughters who are going through getting their period, like they're 12 and 13, what are the girls like? They're moody, they're all over the place. You can't, you know, like it's hormonal. So they don't quite know what's going on. But the thing when that happens at that first transition is that they've got all their mums and their aunties and everyone's sort of guiding them through them, and everyone's patient, more patient with them. But when your hormones change again for a second time, when you're going through menopause, no one's there to support you. It's very different, and the effects are a lot different. They're a lot more intense, and for some women they can be debilitating. So that's what you've got to understand for the women who are about to go into perimenopause, and for the men who are with women to support them to go through their change in hormones. Because it can literally be like for women, like hearing their husband chew food is going to send them insane. It's going to want them to just like, everything is going to make them want to run away from you. And and they think they're going crazy because they don't know. But it's not always. A lot of women go through it and they don't feel any symptoms. So one thing that I think can be bad now with all of this information is the same as what we said with social media, where we're seeing other people's experiences and then we think it's going to be bad. And the men, oh, I'm scared of this. Whereas men 10 years ago or 20, 30, 40 years ago, they didn't know it was a thing. So that you're going into it with this fear. And when you have fear, you're going to attract more fear. So I think that's kind of something that's happening now that is dangerous, because it might not even be a thing. It might just be she's having a bad mood, or she's feeling sad, or she's crying.
Yeah, I got two things if I could add here. Yeah. I mean, my business is helping men whose marriages are falling apart and they're stressed out. So at the best of times, most men and women have terrible relationships. The divorce rate's 50%, right?
Right.
So the man's already upset at the wife and the wife's already upset at the husband. Then you throw in moodiness.
Right.
Stop chewing your food so loud. And we get very reactive, right? And then we attack our partner and we judge them. And this is what causes a lot of disconnection. So what can the man listening to this right now do to understand his wife better, not be afraid of her?
Not be afraid
right?
of her.
And to be able to support her, because that sounds simple, right? But for most blokes, myself included, that's not always easy, right?
No.
You know, it's hard to do. So what can a guy listening right now do, and what can also the wife or the woman do?
Well, I think the guys generally want to protect and look after their women, and they want them to feel good. They want a man's happy when his wife's happy. So if that's the truth, then you need to ask her you're going through this thing. I'm going to learn about it with you. We're going to figure it out. We're going to understand that your hormones are all over the place. And then ask her, what do you want me to do? If I'm really the man, if I'm really annoying you, can you just say it? You're just annoying me, and it's okay, and have some space. But if the man's going to be reactive, because the men try and fix everything, that's the issue.
We're fixing a lot of nods happening right now.
Oh, man.
We don't want to be fixed. We want someone to put out their arm around us and say, it's okay. They're there.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. You want to be crazy woman? Like, go be a crazy woman. I'll be here when you need me. Like, it's that strong, you know,
confidence.
A strong man to say, you're going to be crazy, but you're going to be beautiful again in a minute.
I'm just going to lock up the grog cabinet and the gun cabinet at the same time.
but it speaks to not being reactive, because, like, it's hard not to react when you feel attacked or nagged or triggered. And I think if anyone's listening right now, just identifying what are the things that trigger you. And when they happen, taking a breath, which is hard to do, right?
Yeah.
And holstering that reaction, or the gun in your case, right?
Taking a breath, especially when it annoys them for you even breathing.
Yeah.
I could literally die.
And also, I think the understanding is there, listen, Marty, just because this is going on, you can't say my breathing's fucking annoying you every single time. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to start to hang your hat on a little bit.
Yeah.
But,
I get that. But the hormones are going to go up and down.
Yeah.
And the estrogen hormone and the progesterone, they make you feel good. It's like you're flooded with it when you have a baby, and it's like that makes you love the baby. No matter how much the baby's crying or how much sleep you don't get, these hormones make you feel love and connected. And so when the hormones are down and they're all over the place, it's like that love that your wife may have had for you, it's like, you know, the glue's gone. It's just hiding for a minute and it will come back. But it's the feel-good hormones have disappeared. They're gone on holidays.
You said for a minute. It's definitely not going to be a minute. How long does it actually last?
Can I just double up on this? I'll give you, and I was going to double up on with how is it currently treated now. I'll give you an example. My mum went through it for a horrific period of time. She's now 78, and I still think she still thinks she has emotional swings and whatnot. And but way back then, so she's 78 now. She started going through it about 43 or 4 because she had a child at 42, my younger brother. And the treatment back then was HRT,
right.
And that sent her, from what we all looked at, and half nuts as well. So I'm not too sure. Is that still the treatment now, where you put the thing up the side of your gum and then that's all out the window?
No. So HRT has been like demonized for many women. Like,
what is HRT?
It's hormone replacement. So when you go through menopause, your estrogen, progesterone, testosterone go down to pretty much nothing. So all of those hormones that helped you, you know, like to give birth, to have your body prepared for that, that they're gone. It's gone. So hormone replacement therapy helps you replace those hormones so that you can regulate yourself to feel good. But there was a study that came out back in the, I'm not quite sure, in the 70s or 80s, correct me, I might be wrong there, but saying that people who were on this HRT got a high incidence of breast cancer. So everyone who was on HRT went off it. It was bad. We're not to do it. And then everyone just went through menopause without any sort of treatment. And then it's only come back now that there's lots of information, lots of amazing doctors doing research. And they've found that HRT is actually very important to help reduce these symptoms. But it also, having very low hormones is affecting your brain health and your bone health. And when you get older, the loss of muscle and the loss of bone is the big problem, right? That's what aging is. That's what, when we say anti-aging, we want to anti-age so we don't have loss of muscle and bone. But yeah, HRT can really help with that. And I was against it so much, you know, because I didn't want to be medicated. But the more research that I've done over these last 2 years, then I've gone on it. I didn't have any symptoms with menopause. So I was really lucky. I went through it well. But I started to get joint pain about 2 years ago. So I've started taking it and it's really helped with that.
Can I make an observation? Obviously, you just shared that you haven't had too many symptoms, but you've coached hundreds of thousands of women. And I think a lot of listeners right now who are either going through menopause, have a mother or a partner who's gone through it, or people like Eric who are genuinely afraid of it, but that can be the mindset. So what would you say to somebody about how they can navigate it? Because you seem like a great example of a woman who has been okay through this journey that's inevitable for every woman.
Yeah.
What sort of hope can you give to the listener, to the husband, to the mother?
Yeah.
So that we can get through that.
So I think if you're a woman in your 30s, like start preparing, start like the health of yourself at 50 and 60 is going to be based on the habits that you create today. So if you're in your 30s, create the habits that are going to make you a healthy, well, old person. And that's simple. Like it's just, again, it's discipline. You know, it's moving your body every day so that you're healthy. Stop sitting down so much and consuming all of the processed foods, because those things are going to exasperate your symptoms when you finally get to the menopausal years. And it's also doing a deep dive into who you are. And this is the problem, I think, now, because everyone's living vicariously through social media and what other people, you know, seem to be doing. So if you can take this time in your 30s and 40s to just really understand you and who you are rather than who you think you should be, and then get clean and honest with that, and then start developing habits, you'll be fine. You know, you'll be fine.
I love that, because that gives them hope. And it's like,
there's hope.
Eric's,
sure,
you know, wife, Jen, she doesn't have to suffer. Eric doesn't have to suffer. We don't have to suffer. We can get through these challenges without having massive, massive problems and blow-ups.
Yeah.
And that's a much more positive message than, oh, we're screwed. You know,
No. It's not that, because like menopause wasn't even a thing, you know, like my mother, yes, she went through this crazy time and we thought, what's wrong? She wouldn't have known that she was going through menopause.
Yeah.
But the generation before, so it's the stresses. It, like, a lot of women are into the hustle culture as well. So they're living like not how a woman is supposed to live. You know, we're supposed to actually be looked after a little bit as well. We're supposed to be nourishing ourselves and giving ourselves some love. So if none of that's happening, then your body is going to react big time to menopause. And if you haven't made a commitment to be healthy and to live healthy, then your symptoms will be worse. Like it's common sense.
Yeah.
Like women have got to create habits that are going to bring health later on, because later on happens real quick. At like 42, that's when I started perimenopause, and I started noticing a lot of differences, but it was kind of like it just happened, and then it came good. And then I didn't have any more symptoms after that. Like I got rashes and like just weird things that I couldn't understand. And I'd go to the doctor and she'd say, no, there's nothing wrong with you, which is what happens with women. They think something's wrong with them. The doctors say, oh, there's nothing wrong with you.
That's
your husband thinks you're crazy. Yeah. So I think for the men, like if you want your wife to hang around and have that deep connection for a long time, there's an element of you've got to figure this out together and connect and just be there, not fix her. Don't try and fix her.
Yeah, real lovers work.
Don't yell at her, and don't scream at her, and don't get frustrated with her, because she doesn't know what's happening. It's just nature.
I only had a quick look at your website now, and just a couple of points there. I mean, you talked about women in their 30s preparing for those stages.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't cater just for 50-year-olds. Women can go to your site now to 30, 40. And from what I saw there, it's not prohibitively expensive to start getting in shape from home, because you've got all the resources there to do it.
Yeah.
But on the other side, from that relationship point, do you actually put out content on how to deal with relationship for male and female?
No, I don't. I've been doing, like I said, a deep dive, like a quiet deep dive into more research over the last 2 years. But I really like to start talking about this, because I think it's kind of too much information and comparison. So everyone thinks, I'm scared. And the women are scared, you know, and that's going to be a bad thing, because we're going into it with fear instead of going into it with, okay, this is going to happen to me. My hormones will drop for sure. But there's things that I can do about it.
I'm learning quickly, because like there's a running joke in our household. It's called the 4-day rotation. And like I've been blessed with women in my life. So I've got obviously my wife, I've got my two girls, and even our dog is female. And
couldn't get a trick, could you?
Within 4 days, every single one of them is upset, emotional, yes, crying. Yeah. Even I can tell when the dog's depressed, you know. And I'm just kind of getting used to it, to be honest with you. And we don't have a choice, because we do have a choice. It's either try and work together or it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And sometimes the grass isn't greener on the other side. Mm-hmm. And this is what I talk a lot about with my wife, is communication. Yeah. She used to be not a great communicator, and I probably over communicate, to be honest with you. I'm the kind of guy that's like, we'll fight, and like I need to, like within 5 minutes I'm like trying to patch things up, you know.
Yeah.
And she was always the one that was just kind of like, just leave me alone. And I'm like, oh man, you know, I just want to sort it out straight away. But you just learn over time how to communicate, and again, it's asking the questions. And that's what I think.
Yeah.
Even I don't do enough still, is just sitting down and going, how can I support, how can I help, what would you like me to do?
Yes.
You know, rather than just trying to fix it straight away.
Yeah, that's great. But you've got to actually do that. Like if you say, how can I support and how can I help you, and then don't do the things that she's asked you to do,
yeah,
then it's kind of like, I get it from a guy's point of view that like, this is unfair. She was like this and now she's like this. But she's going through her transition to the richness of what comes out after menopause, and this is then that's her new sort of phase in life. So don't give up because it's hard. Like, we don't give up on our daughters because they're going crazy when they're going through their first hormonal change. We love them and we support them and we try and understand them.
Yeah.
So we don't want to throw the women out because they're going through like a natural decline in hormones that make you feel like a crazy woman sometimes, or the night sweats and the hot flushes and the mood swings. Like, we've just got to work together so that she'll feel safe to be her, to be who she is with you. Yeah. And then that just makes you like even more up here for her.
Yeah. Like, we call that curious empathy. So it's like, as a man, we get triggered about a lot of things. You know, wife says, you left the toilet seat up. We're like, God damn it, I've been working all day. Why are you upset about the toilet seat?
Right.
But curious empathy is when your wife is upset or she does go quote unquote crazy, you go, that's interesting. And then you get curious about what's going on for her.
Yep.
But that's hard to do when you're triggered, right?
Exactly.
But what a woman really wants, and you can tell me if you disagree, is she wants a man who can have his shit together and be assertive and confident while also being empathetic. And most men have no idea how to do both.
No.
But if you can do that, your woman's like, oh my God, this is the guy. Like, this is the one, you know.
My hero.
Yeah.
And why not for the guys? Like, you know, men want to do well in business, like, but do well in self. Ooh. And do well in who you are, because this is another test for the men. Like, women are going through the hormonal changes. Men are as well, too. But if your goal is to be a really good man, like a good human being, like, what are you prepared to do? Yeah. How are you prepared to hold it?
Yeah. James, can you please explain to us what changes you're going through? Because you're the oldest one.
I think I've been going through them since birth, right? Yeah. It's constant evolution.
Oh, man. Honestly, I think this is such an important topic. It's an uncomfortable topic for a lot of us because, to be honest with you, there's a level of acceptance. Like, I can't believe I'm at a point in my life because in my mind, I feel like I'm 20. I think like I'm 20, right?
Act
I go
like
to the
20.
Gym and I'm thinking like I'm,
that
you know.
That time with that cruise party, you try to dress like you're 20 and that backfired a lot.
Right. But the reality is I'm not 20.
But you're 40. It's the same thing.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. But this is the thing. It's just accepting the different stages in life and not fighting it. And now I think what we have to do is embrace the amount of information that we have at our fingertips. YouTube has everything. You type in one topic, it's there.
Yeah.
Right.
Not GPT.
Yeah, now you have ChatGPT.
Dr. GPT.
Right.
Can diagnose and do all kinds of things.
You guys could go onto ChatGPT and say, my wife is going crazy. She's annoyed at how I'm eating and all of the things. Say, what should I do?
Yeah. You know,
and you'll get some really good.
The first one is stop eating like a pig. It's Eric.
Yeah.
Like, that'll be a good.
You know, it's funny because, like, just being here and talking about this topic, I'm thinking of like little things that have happened over the last few weeks, you know. And the other night, so our kids, my wife loves, she's just the best mother. She's the most nurtured. She's a nurturer, right? And the kids love coming into our bed still. And they're a little bit older now. And if I'm downstairs doing a bit of work and I know that she's upstairs putting them to bed, I'm like, 9 times out of 10, they're probably all three of them crashed in my bed. And about a week ago, I was like, I go up to bed, there they are crashed. And I'm like, oh man. Right. And you're trying to get your pajamas and you're trying to, you know, brush your teeth and do this stuff. And then I'm like, all right, here's Eric sleeping in the spare bedroom again. But I know this is a point in time because it's going to be and we're embracing that. And sometimes I hop in bed and all four of us are sleeping. But at times I know I'm going to have a big day. I need a good sleep, right?
Yeah.
So there's Eric unplugging the phone charger from downstairs, which is Jen's main charger. And I go and plug it into you're already laughing because you already know where this is going. And I plug it into this in the spare bedroom, charge my phone, go to sleep, wake up. Eric doesn't put the charger back. I change, go to work for the day, come home, get talking. Maybe something sets her off. Maybe the, you know, perimenopause is happening.
Or a flat phone.
Right. Yeah. And then, where's the charger? I'm like, oh, I had to take it upstairs. You never put the chargers back. You always, you know, and then, and I'm like, that's it. I'm buying 32 chargers. I'm putting them in every GPL in the entire house. And she's like, no, you're not, because I don't want chargers everywhere. I'm like, but that's going to solve the problem, you know? And yeah. It just goes, and I guess it's times like that where, you know, you really got to think about, it could be that. Like, it could be just like that. It might be the charger, not the annoying chewing sound. Like, yeah. You know, like there's yeah. different things that will set them off. So I'm going to start documenting these.
Set them off.
I'm going to start.
Start a YouTube channel.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, you know what? Yeah. Rather than her be set off, it could have been just that you didn't do,
yes.
You annoyed her.
Yeah, I didn't follow through.
You didn't follow through.
I think we're going to do something together. And you just mentioned that we're going to create a YouTube channel for guys like me that are going to document the craziness that we go through.
Day 72.
Excuse me.
Day 72. I got a beard down here.
You can't just say that the women are crazy, because then that's making them feel worse.
Yeah, no, we're crazy too.
So at the end of the week, you don't have all the positives and negatives written down, and you go through, right, let's do this side first. That's not a good idea.
Do you know what she's going to do? She's going to walk.
Yeah.
Shit, it keeps happening.
Maybe there's a reason. But what you said at the beginning of your story about your wife, Jen, was that she's so nurturing and she's such a great mother and she's so beautiful. So, like, that's what you need to hold.
Yeah.
Not her little things that she does that she gets annoyed with. You just, like, stop it.
And that's why, like, with the kids, God bless them, as much as I get disrupted sleep, I know there's a period in time very soon that they're not even going to want to know about you.
Oh.
And that's what repeats in my head going, this is a stage, embrace it, hold them, let them hit you in the face with, you know, their leg and the rest of it while you're asleep, and have that rubbish sleep, because there's going to be a point in time where you're going to sit there and you're going to be lonely and you're going to be like, I wish I had those times back.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what she reminds me all the time of.
And to your point really quickly on this whole charger thing, right? It's not the charger. Okay, it's the meaning behind the charger. Yeah. So one thing I coach my clients on is the love bank. So if you try and withdraw $5,000 from a bank, but there's no money in the bank, you either go into overdraft or they say you can't withdraw the money.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of men, I'm guilty of this, we want sex and we want respect and we want appreciation, and we're trying to pull that out of our partner.
Yeah.
And then our partner gets upset about the charger. We're like, God damn it, right?
Yeah, right.
But what's really happening is she doesn't feel like her bank is full. Right? It's not the charger. My wife does not get upset about the charger when she's feeling loved. But when I'm working too much or when I'm stressed, that's when these things happen. So I think give us some more love, Eric.
Yeah, yeah. I've gotten a lot better with that, like thinking about booking things in, and like the love language is a big thing, right? Like understanding what they actually appreciate. Because I could come home and be like, hey, babe, thank you so much. You've cooked in a thing. And it's like, doesn't even enter the brain. But if I'm like, hey babe, just so you know, babysitter's booked on Friday and we're going here, it's like hurrah, you know what I mean? That's probably, you know, 2 weeks of I could leave the charger anywhere the hell I want and there won't be one peek.
You know the answer.
But what happens is, this is why I love having, it's amazing how things work, where usually we have another guy, Mark, on, but we got Tony on today that comes in once in a while, and it's amazing because he reminds me of what I need to do, right? Because like us men are like hunter, gatherer, provider, you know, protector.
Yeah.
And sometimes I get in so much of that mode that I just forget the little things.
She's thinking of every single little thing.
Correct. And a tip that I would have for people is put it in your calendar. Put it in your diary, put it in your Asana task list, right? Don't look at it as a business task, but it is something that needs to be thought about. And if you're under pressure or you're busy or you know you have a big project coming up, what you can't do is leave this side behind. Like you said, the $5,000 is not going to be in the bank and you take, and then all of a sudden you're going, but what about me? And then she's, yeah, well, you haven't thought about me. And then that just goes. And then you throw this menopause, right, into the mix as well. you know, that's in a regular relationship. Then you throw menopause in the mix, that can just, you know, change everything.
So that's why Tony has a business. Because that seriously.
Yeah, because we don't know. We're not taught these things.
No, because we put the blinkers on and go for it instead of being able to more lateral view.
And the other thing that we haven't discussed yet with this relationship dynamic is childhood triggers.
Yeah.
Because the power, the plugs might be something to do with, you know, because we're all children acting out as adults.
Yeah.
And this is what my advice would be for women as well who are going through these changes is you've got to figure out what's triggering you from your childhood, because that is going to be the wife you become, the mother you become, if you're not unraveling it and figuring out why am I so annoyed with this guy, or why do I keep having this happen to me in my jobs or my relationships or my girlfriends. So the things that keep showing up to us, we've got to look within, not say that's all of their faults.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Because the more you can come to terms with that and heal that, the less your menopause symptoms will be.
So with that then, a question then, Laura, we've talked about the business side to start with. We've spent a fair bit of time on the actual emotional side and the menopause side of it. Where's Shelley Fowler in 5 years? What's on the deck?
In 5 years, I think I'll still be doing what I'm doing.
Yep.
I've built an app, for my ladies, and that'll be released soon. And I think I'll be doing what I'm doing, but not like I'll have one of your guys just be walking in and doing it. Yeah. I'll make my life a lot easier and a lot simpler. But for this stage in my life, it was just all building and learning. And then 5 years' time, I'll just be enjoying and teaching and helping people.
And that's what we're doing, right? We're just building, learning as we go, throw mud at the wall, see what sticks, keep going.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. Believe it or not, you know, we've been talking for quite some time, and I've got probably about 98% of the questions that I wanted to ask that I couldn't, because it's just, you can go on and on with these podcasts. So we'll probably have to get you back on again for sure. And yeah, I just want to say thank you for leaving Shelley Shed to be here with us today and be in front of our cameras. Really appreciate that.
Thank you. And for all the women out there who are watching, who are going through this and feeling like they're A, scared, B, annoyed with their partners, and for the guys, like, write in the comments what you're feeling and if what we've said has resonated with you, and for the guys as well, like, is your, like, you know, because I think the more we can talk about it, the more we can normalize it, instead of thinking, my wife's going through this, this is terrible. You've already got this preconceived idea that it's going to go downhill.
And for all the men out there, buckle up, brace for impact.
And your wife's not crazy, as it's coming. And you're,
and your wife's not crazy.
It's getting better.
Just to try and take it easy on us as best as possible.
Yeah. I see your point though. Like it's for the men, you know, support the partner. For the woman, share what's going on for you. And like, it doesn't need to be negative or bad. You know,
it doesn't need to be negative, because we're going through a season. We're growing, we're evolving, becoming more.
My mother always says this: "This too shall pass."
Yep, just a season.
But do you want it to part? Like your wife's beautiful and nurturing and kind and loving. What do you want to?
I don't want
that to pass.
I roll with the punches. We dodge, we weave, we keep pushing forward, and that's what a relationship.
Yeah,
personal relationship. You know, a marriage, business relationship, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's being there to support each other. And that's why I surround myself with these guys, because at times we all need the support.
Yeah.
You know, phone's always on and we just want the best for each other. And that's why we do what we do at Unemployable. And it's the same thing. And that's the energy that we're putting out there, just our real, raw, relatable selves, you know, in the trenches, trying to be the best version of ourselves.
Where can people find you?
Fabulous50s.com, Fabulous50s YouTube. So yeah, just Fabulous50s.
So and the YouTube handle is Fabulous, FABULOUS .50s, 50s.
That's
Instagram.
Yeah, just 50s.
Yep. And email is at support at Fabulous50s, FABULOUS 50s.com, noau.com.
Yep. Amazing. And if you are a woman listening to this, like, go and do one of the challenges. It's so easy to listen to podcasts and go, that's amazing, and do nothing with it. If you've listened this far, something's resonated. So go and check out the website. Send this to your wife. Send this to your mother. Send this to the woman in your world. And also frame it that this is interesting, not you need to do this.
Yeah.
Bit of advice. But I think, yeah, do something with what you've learned today because it's very powerful.
Tony, thanks again for coming on. James, thank you. Shelley, once again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And as usual, ladies and gentlemen, like, subscribe, and share this podcast around. We're showing up every week for you, just like Shelley has for the last 8 years, and hopefully we'll be in the same position as her. I'll be very humbled to be in half the position that she's in at the moment. And we'll see you on the next one. Thank you.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.